All right, being an effective manager, we're already on task 9. If you made it this far, congratulations. You're well on your way to becoming a good manager. There's a lot of stuff, and I appreciate you hanging in there, doing the quizzes and all the work. It's all worth it if you keep going. Anyway, task 9 is return on investment. Luke 14. Jesus said, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin a construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Calculating the cost. What is ROI? The letters stand for return on investment. The way to think about it in the business world is there's gross income. That's any income that you have coming in. So for a church, let's say our church, we have money coming in from offerings every Sunday. We have rental income. Sometimes we rent out our building. We actually have the U.S. Post Office, our city post office, in our building. And so they pay us rent every single month. We have a house that we rent out as well. So we have rental income, miscellaneous income. Most of our income comes from offerings. If you're in a business, your gross income would be the sales of all the things that you sell. But your gross income is not, you don't have all that money because there's costs. So you take your gross income, all the income from all the sources, and then you subtract the costs. And then hopefully you end up with a net income. Now in a nonprofit, the goal is to have all the income that you get minus all the costs, and the net income should ultimately come to zero. In a nonprofit, you try to spend all the money that comes in. In a business, you hope to have a little bit left over so that you can invest it in your company and your company can grow. Why is ROI important for an organization or to be thinking about it? Organizations, churches, businesses exist to make or do something that makes a difference in the world. I mean, certainly a church exists to make a difference in the lives of the people that go there, but not only in the lives of the people that go there, but in the lives of everyone associated with your church members, and ultimately to reach people who don't go to church or don't know Christ as Savior. We want to try to make an eternal difference. So everything that we do, the services, the sermons, the outreach things, the hospitality events, any fun thing, everything that we do, ultimately, we're trying to help people walk with God, support each other's walk with God, but then share that walk with God with others. So all that we do is trying to make some kind of difference. In a for-profit organization, maybe there's a product or a service that the for-profit company does, but ultimately you want that product to make a difference in the lives of people. Whether it's computers or softwares or some service or whatever it might be, you're trying to make a difference in the lives of people. If you don't make a difference in the lives of people, then no one's going to buy it. Number two, the goal is to make or do something that makes a difference, or to make or do something that makes a difference usually costs money, people, and time. So you want to make a difference, but it costs something to do that. It costs money, generally. It costs people. You need personnel to do things, and it costs time. Number three, in order to keep putting out the money, people, and time. So you want to do something and it costs you money, people, and time. In order to keep, you know, spending that to produce this thing that makes a difference, someone has to be willing to either contribute the money if you're in a nonprofit and the goods and services are free, Or people have to be willing to pay for the goods and services as it is in a for-profit company. The money has to come from somewhere. You want to do this thing that makes a difference, but it costs money, people, and time to do it. And either someone has to contribute it or someone has to pay that cost, or you can't keep doing it. If the organization can lower the costs of the money and the people and the time, if you can lower those costs and increase the money raised or earned, then you can accomplish more stuff. And that's what organizations like to do. Ask ROI of everything the organization does. Return on investment. We make an investment of time, money, and people. And what do we get back from it? The ROI of meetings. So you have a meeting. At our church, we have a staff meeting every single week that consists of the associate pastor, I, and the secretary. A lot of times we end up meeting for 2 hours. I think we could probably do it in an hour. The cost of a staff meeting is the hourly salary of each staff member times the number of hours you meet. So we have to take my salary for an hour, my associate pastor, his salary for an hour, the secretary's salary for an hour, and now we have to take that and times it by two and add it all up. If you do that, you realize this meeting is not just a meeting. It costs the organization, it costs the church so many dollars for us to sit here for 2 hours. So sometimes, maybe in a staff meeting, you should just get your job done and move on. Like, what we're accomplishing in those 2 hours is not worth the total price that the church is paying for this meeting. Number two, ROI of every program. What's the return on investment of every program? Is the thing that we're doing worth it? So if I teach a class and the class is 3 hours and I have to prepare 3 hours, that class costs our church six times whatever hourly rate that I make. And is that class worth it? Are we, two people showed up and I keep pouring time and effort into that. I remember our associate, he wanted to do a pottery class. And so he wanted to save money on glazes. So he bought these glazes that was in powder form, and you had to mix each one, and you have to measure. And he spent a whole day mixing these glazes to save money. Well, he has to take the 8 hours times his hourly salary, and that's the cost of all the effort to save money. It probably costs him three times the money in his salary to save the money in the buying the product in the first place. So you really have to think about, the real costs of things. The ROI of every single product. Before, this was back in the middle 90s, I think, my friend Henry Reinga, who happens to be the president and founder of Christian Leaders Institute, he and I formed our own nonprofit back then, and we wanted to make a Christian day planner. We thought that was a need, so we bought computers and we sat down and we figured it all out and we found a printer and he printed them and we went around selling these planners in schools and so on. So we did that for like a year and a half on our own, and then we bumped into an organization called the Bible League and they asked us to do what we were doing with them. So we joined in with them. Now we had a budget from them. They had a whole print department. And so the next year when we were doing our planners, we went to the print department of the Bible League. And we said, well, we got all these planners we want to print. And so what is that going to cost our budget? Well, they came with a price that was way more than what we had paid the year before. The year before, we went out and found a printer. And because of that experience, the organization stopped and looked at their whole printing department and decided that that isn't what they were good at doing. And they closed the whole print department down because you could find a printer outside the organization that could do it cheaper. And that's often the case when you finally look at your return on investment of what you're doing, you may find out that this thing is not worth doing. That you should stick to the thing that you're doing really well And, you know, let someone else do that. The ROI of every service that you provide. You know, we're going to try to help people with housing, or we're going to try to help people with food, or we're trying to... But what ultimately does it cost us to help someone? A lot of the social programs in our country are being run by people with degrees in sociology, and they're getting paid a good salary, and a lot of the money that goes to help the poor is for all these people that are really helping the poor, and in the end only 10 people get helped. So all this money is being used, but in the end it doesn't really get to the people, because there's all these people that need to get paid that are doing the helping. And so ultimately, is this really paying? The ROI of every single employee. In our church, I try to let people know that are hired by the church, I try to let them know what their real cost is. A lot of people think that they get paid, the amount that they get paid is what is in their bank. So I'm hired by my church, and ultimately I get so much money that goes into my bank account, and that's my pay. No, that's not your pay. The pay is the taxes that your church pays, the health thing that your church pays, every benefit that the church gives you. The total cost to the church is what your pay is. Now, I realize I don't see it all, I don't get it all, but that's what it costs the church. This is the number that the organization has to pay in order to have you. That is the number I want all my employees to understand, because that's the real cost. That, and then you divide it by 40 hours a week, and that's the real cost for every hour that you do. Mistaken notion by many nonprofit organizations: if our efforts only reach one person, it will be worth it, because there is no price you can put on a person's life. Now, the last half of that statement is absolutely true. There is, a person's life is invaluable. But the statement is a false statement, because maybe we could have done something else and helped three people. In other words, there's a certain cost in terms of time, money, and personnel and effort and so. And if we use all our time, money, and effort, and we only help one person, maybe we could do things better and we could help 10 people. So it's not the value of one person or another. It's the how much we could actually get done. And people will use this phrase as a way to not really look at the ROI, or the return on investment, especially in a nonprofit. In a profit organization, it's very simple. If you don't make enough profit, soon you will be out of business. But nonprofits can keep going as long as they can raise the money. And you can raise the money by appealing to people and saying non-specific things, and people will give. So it's really up to the leaders of the nonprofit to actually analyze, what are we actually accomplishing? So if we're feeding people and our goal is just to feed people, then next year, you know, let's just feed twice as many people as we did last year. We're successful because we fed twice as many people as last year. Is that your goal, just to feed people? Or is your goal to help people? Well, how many people did you help? You don't know. Because you don't know the accuracy of your return on investment. What, you know, we fed these 10 people, but maybe because we fed them, they spent their money instead on food, they spent it on cigarettes and booze. Well, you don't know, because you're not measuring the right things. So it's not about the value of people. It's about getting the most and accomplishing the most for your effort. And so at least knowing what everything costs you. What does the service every Sunday cost us? What's the real price of this? What is the cost of every single program? What's the cost of all the employees? I'm not saying that they're not worth it. I'm not saying we don't pay people. I'm not saying we don't do anything. But we should know, the manager at least should know, what the cost is of these things, so you can evaluate, which thing do we really want to do? Because that's really what it's about. It's about priorities. There's a million things we could do. There's a lot of good things we could do. But we can only do so many things. So what are the things that are going to give us the most results that we're looking for?